We're looking at enjoying the journey with God, and we won't get right to it, but we will start in a little while at chapter 22, verse 16. But right now we've got some introductory aspects. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. I'm reading through Proverbs, a proverb every day. And also in Psalms, I just finished the New Testament again for the third time this year. So I'm reading Psalms and Proverbs. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So we know the word of God is still the same today, that if we obey it and we learn it, we can find good health and blessings from the Lord. God's law and the wisdom of his teachings. We saw the commands God gave to Israel in Exodus 20. God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush and sent him to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. In Genesis 1:1, the name God, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The name there is the name Elohim. And he is the creator. And that name has a plurality. It is the first of three primary names translated God. The plural aspect of this name is found in Genesis 1:26. If you want to look back there, or you got the verse written down there for you on the reference so you can look at it later. Chapter 1 and verse 26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So this name Elohim is that plural name that refers to God. He revealed himself to Moses as Jehovah. G. Campbell Morgan wrote, the name Jehovah exists in three words, meaning he that will be, he that is, and he that was. It deals with the eternal aspect of God and how he keeps his word. If we could just get mankind to understand who God is and that he is the creator and that we're going to have to answer to him, then maybe we could get them to come to Christ and be saved and be delivered from their sins, and God can sustain them through their life, or they're going to find out in the end that he will stand as their judge and they'll be condemned. Revelation 20, 11 through 15 deals with that final judgment where all the lost are cast into the lake of fire. In Romans chapter 1, if you want to look there with me, Romans 1, the worship of God, God required of Israel to have no other gods. In Romans 1 and verse 21, the problem of people worshiping God, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. And he talks about the women and the men digressing into homosexuality because of their sin. I heard on the radio today that Governor Newsom in California has forbidden the school systems of California to get rid of any books that glorify the LGBTQ community and all that sort of thing. He wants all that taught to the little children in the public schools, and that's what they're after to begin with, to pervert their thinking. And God help them in California and anywhere else that schools follow that kind of pattern. The world of man has many idols. Israel dealt with idolatry continuously and the nations around them. If you look at Psalm 135 and verse 15 through 18. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Think about that, that people worship idols that they've made with their hands, and those things, rather than them making something out of them to be a god, they become like those things, dumb and without ability to think and all of that in the same way. In Psalm 115, in verse 4 through 8, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. So God told Israel not to make idols and not to even mention the names of the false gods that the other nations worship. There's a temple in Charlotte. We had a young man stop by here several years ago. His father owned a hotel in the area, and they went to temple in Charlotte. And he said they worshiped 27 gods, and they were creatures that were made by the hands of man. And he was disgusted with it, and he stopped by here and had a talk with me and asked me to pray for him. And I took him through the scriptures and led him in the sinner's prayer. He prayed the prayer. Now, whether or not he got saved at that day or not, I have no way to know. But he didn't live right here in the immediate community. All unbelievers are without Christ, and therefore they're without hope and without God, according to Ephesians 2 and verse number 12. True believers are called Christians. They're called the sons of God, the children of God, by faith in Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:26. When we become intimately related to the Lord Jesus Christ, we cease to have any other gods. It is like a marriage relationship. We're joined together to keep ourselves from all others, and we worship the Lord and become a part of the family of God, and we're not to have any other gods. The Lord Jesus Christ is holy, eternal, immutable, meaning unchangeable, omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent. He is everywhere by His Spirit at all times. He has all authority committed unto Him. In Matthew 28:18, He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." The word power there is the word for authority. And Christ has all power and all authority. When John wrote 1 John, he reminded Christians in chapter 5, verse 21, keep yourselves from idols. So this is not just an Old Testament teaching, it is a New Testament teaching to the Christian. Colossians 3:5 says, covetousness is defined as idolatry. I want to turn there and read Colossians 3 for you. I preached out of that Sunday morning, and we read that verse. Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, chapter 3, verse 5. Mortify, meaning put to death, therefore, your members which are upon earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So money causes people to make an idol and worship a thing rather than worshiping the true God. Our dollar bills and money has printed on it, "In God we trust." Someone said, for many people, it should say, "In this God we trust," referring to trusting money. Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. The word mammon is an Aramaic word for wealth. And so we can't trust God and money. In Ephesians 5, we'll read several verses there in Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But a fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So that admonition for a changed life and not to follow in what we were involved with before we became believers. Now, it's not a sin to have money. In 1 Timothy 6, the Bible tells us that the love of money is the problem. First Timothy 6 and verse 5 through 11. Perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. There's been a religious teaching going around the country for years, especially from these TV preachers, that gain is godliness. In other words, if you're godly, God's going to make you rich. And that's clearly not what the Bible teaches. Verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in perdition and destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So a person gets to the point that they love money, they'll use people. We're to love God and love people and use things. Money is a thing. If we love money, we'll use God and use people. We get it backwards. Turning away from the simple, Proverbs 1:32 says, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. And we look at 2 Timothy, if you're still over there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 4 says, Talking about the last days, verse 1, 2 Timothy 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So they're not just lovers of money, they're lovers of pleasure more than they love God. And perilous times of the last days. Some worship sensual pleasures and self-indulgence. In Philippians 3, 17 through 20, it talks about the lifestyle of some men that the God is their belly, and that is part of their desires that they fall prey to. We need to remember the new commandment from John 13, 34, to love as Christ loved us. And if we love the Scriptures and we love the Lord, then those things will guide us in our daily life so that we don't fall prey to loving the things of this world and making idols of things. The Apostle Paul gives an exposition on love in the Christian life in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 8. That's often a passage of Scripture that's read during wedding ceremonies about love, the characteristics of love. And it is often in the Bible translated charity. Charity is not giving away your old stuff. Charity is giving sacrificially the best that you have. It is a biblical word that means the word love. Love is known from its actions. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance are the fruit of the Holy Spirit living within us. God is the primary object of our love. And love seeks the welfare of all. Love works no ill to his neighbor. And love seeks opportunity to do good. Love is sacrificial. It puts self behind and others ahead. And it is unselfish. God loves us and we're to love others. And that is the motivation for us in the Christian life, to live our life with the love that God loves us and we love him in return and we love others. Now we'll go back to Exodus 22 and get started. Now that I've almost used up all my time. Exodus 22, 16. Got too many paper clips. I went to Leviticus. Exodus 22:16. If a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. If her father utterly refused to give him her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. There is a penalty there for any harm brought in the relationship between the man and the woman. And these laws are given on the behavior of a man with a woman. Miscellaneous laws are given here in this passage of Scripture, including payments that may be made with any harm caused to a young woman. Verse 18 is a beginning of a death sentence. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Look at your bookmark here and go to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9 through 15. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Remember those 10 nations he was driving out, and the reasons he was driving them out was for all their sins. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. And so the prophet speaks the word of God. We know there's a direct reference from that verse to the Lord Jesus, who was that prophet like Moses, who brought the word of God to the people. Sins with death penalties. We saw in chapter 22 that a witch was not to live. Verse 19 and 20. Let me get back to where I'm supposed to be. Exodus 22. Verse 19. Whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. He that sacrificeth unto any god save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. So these are death sentences that are pronounced upon them. He reminds them again in the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, and verse 22. Leviticus 18, verse 22 through 24. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto, it is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. So these are the sins of the nations, the ten nations of people, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Hivites and all of these ten nations that God was driving out from before them. And back in Exodus 22, he begins in verse 21 through 27 with laws of strangers and with selfish acts of man. Verse 21 through 27, thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, they cried all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with a sword, and your wives and your widows and your children fatherless. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be unto him as an usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury or percentage of profit. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by the sun goeth down, for it is his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep. And it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious. Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. So these are various laws dealing with the treatment of people, and especially when they come into the land where they are going. There's a caution about speaking evil of dignities. That is repeated in the book of Jude, in verse number 8, of those who are sinful and wicked, speaking evil of dignities. And then he repeats in Romans 13 how that we are to submit ourselves to the civil authority of government over us, because God instituted government for our good and for our protection. And we should not have to fear government. It should be government that protects us from war and violent crime and all that sort of thing. Now, we're not to withhold what we have from anyone that we owe. from God, we owe our tithe and offering, or to man who works for us. In chapter 22, verse 29 and 30, thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors, the firstborn of thy son shalt thou give unto me. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam. On the 8th day thou shalt give it me. In Proverbs 3, I'm going to read from there. If you want to go with me, you can. Proverbs 3 and verse 27 and 28. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. So we're not supposed to owe somebody, have them work for us, and then say, go home and come back tomorrow and I'll pay you. If you have the money, we're supposed to pay them. We're not to withhold money from those that we owe. God gave Israel a diet in the book of Leviticus, and some of the requirements of that diet are for safety and protection. They were not to eat of dead animals that they'd find on the road or anything. I was just joking about eating roadkill, you know, but they were not to do that because that could be harmful. It could be decayed. It could be diseased. And God protected them in that way. In chapter 23, verse 1 through 20, begins to deal with the subject of justice. Verse 1 through 8 deals with the aspect of lying and false witnesses. The caution in verse 2 is something you ought to underline if you underline in your Bible. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. So don't follow a multitude doing the wrong thing. Don't follow people because there's a crowd. Know truth and follow truth. And don't get caught up in answering with the crowd because there's a crowd. It's a dangerous thing that people do. There are various laws and judgments governing the behavior with others and their possessions that follow in this chapter of Scripture. And then in verse 10 through 17, he deals with the feasts and with the Sabbath worship. Sabbath is Friday at sundown until Saturday at sundown. Sunday is not the Sabbath. Sunday is the Lord's day, the day he arose from the grave, and that's why we gather in worship on Sunday, which is what the disciples and the early church began to do after Christ was risen from the dead. But to the Jews, the Sabbath day was Friday at sundown till Saturday at sundown. And they are taught that all the men are to gather 3 times in the year for these national feasts, and certainly they'd bring their families with them when they came. They were to plant their fields for 6 years, and the 7th year is a Sabbath, is to rest. And during that year, their land would rest. They would not plant. Things would come up of their own, and that would be for the stranger, for the neighbor, the poor people, and for the animals to eat. They were to be sure they came to Passover, including the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. There are more feasts, but God understood the strain it may put on them to travel back to Jerusalem for every feast. And so these were required that they would have a spiritual revival by coming to the feast of the Lord. There's a prohibition of cooking a kid in his mother's milk. And my commentaries tell me that was a Canaanite, idolatrous thing that they did, cooking a baby goat in its mother's milk and then sprinkling the liquid on the trees and the fields, thinking that would have some magic fertility rite for the trees and the fields. And probably what it would do is appeal to some animal to eat it because it had a taste to it or something. So they were not to do it because it was a practice of the idol worshipers. God wanted Israel to separate themselves totally from idolatry, so much so they were not to even mention the names of the false gods that the other nations worshipped. Sin for a Christian is something we should separate from. And we're taught not to even talk about the things that sinful people do in their darkness that are not to be brought up in conversation. God help us to separate ourselves from sin and evil. Walk with the Lord, be children of light, and live like it with a testimony for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your people coming tonight. Pray your blessings upon each and every one. Ask for your protection and safety as they travel home. It is getting darker and we'll be getting colder. And we're thankful that the cool weather has come and we gets late. It's still dark in the mornings and now it's dark in the evenings. And so some will have a difficulty driving. Bless tomorrow, Thursday at 10:30, when Brother Bob has a class specifically for those that don't have to drive at night, can come tomorrow at 10:30 if they're free. So bless them for coming, and bless these that have come, and the children's ministries, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.